Well, how many are glad to be here on Easter Sunday morning? Are you glad to be here? I'm glad you're here, and this is the first time we've done two services, as I said earlier, and what a great turnout for both services. And man, I couldn't believe how many people came to that first service. I told the singers earlier, I said, I don't know what they expect, but we're just going to step out in faith and believe that God's going to do something. And man, we did, and I was so surprised at how many people showed up for that first service, and to see you here today. And I'm so glad that you're here. There's no way we could have fit both people in both services, so I'm glad that you guys are here today. If you're visiting today and you don't have a church home, we do welcome you here at Destiny Church. You're welcome to come back anytime. We'd love to have you. What you feeling today? You say, is that just because it's Easter? No, it's because the power of God is here and it's moving among us. And there's something about when we worship the Lord, you feel his presence in a very real, sincere way. And it's pulling at your heart today. It's pulling at your soul, at your spirit today. And that's what's happening. How many love being a kid? Anybody love being a kid? Here? All right. For those of you who are over 30, tell me, what was one of the funnest things about Saturdays growing up as a kid? Cartoons. Now, my kids have no idea about what I'm talking about. But for those of us who are over 30, you realize what Saturday mornings represented was cartoons. And I had a hard time. I did not want to get up as a kid, but on Saturday mornings, I had my alarm set at 5:30. I was ready to get up because I was going to take advantage. I was going to seize the moment, and I was going to watch every cartoon that came on. Because it was going to be another week before I could get another cartoon. Now today, my kids have 6 channels with 24 hours a day cartoons. They don't realize the pain that we went through as a kid. The pain and sacrifice that went in to watching cartoons. Today, it's on every channel, and they're all the time. But back then, we had to really, my kids are like, what are you talking about? We had this thing called TV, and it had these knobs that used to go like this. Anyway. And I would get up early and I would watch cartoons, and I love watching cartoons, but one of the shows that I really didn't like a lot, because when it came on, it meant that my cartoons were over. Can anybody think of a Saturday morning show that came on that meant your cartoons were over? American what? Bandstand. Remember, we're going hopping, dop, we're going da 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 da. Bandstand, bandstand, bandstand. I mean, Barry, I didn't realize this until I was looking it up the other day. You know, Barry Manilow was the one who recorded that song. I thought, how more white can you get than Barry Manilow and American Bandstand? I mean, this show was a bunch of white people on. There was no rhythm at all going, da, 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 da. And so it used to make me laugh, you know, and I'd laugh. And I was watching some of the old interviews the other day, and I had, like, John Travolta was on there singing. You remember when John Travolta sang a song? He was on Welcome Back, Carter, before he was a movie star. And he had his long, wavy hair, and all the girls were singing. He had this microphone about this big. No lie. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, it was so funny. It was just cracking me up as I was watching this show with Dick Clark interviewing these people. And it was a staple show in America for many decades, American Bandstand. But it really didn't click with me. But there was a show that came on later on, Saturday afternoons, that really click with me. Matter of fact, I think we have the intro right here. Maybe some of you can watch it. Just ring a bell with some of you. Did you ever watch this show? Hey! Come on, you know what I'm talking about. The Soul Train. Now, how cool was the Soul Train? I mean, they had the hats. Sideways, they had a fro so big. Come on, you remember? This is Don Cornelius. You've been talking about the deep voice. Peace, love, and soul. I mean, he had this fro so big. He would turn his head, and it'd take 10 minutes for his fro to catch up to him. They wore these pants, you know, they had these outfits going with the collars about down to here, and the pants legs this big. And man, they would do that line, or the Soul Train line at the end. Everybody come walking through there doing their thing, breaking it down. And you're like, these people can move, man. I ain't never seen this. These people can move. They had rhythm. There was something about it, Soul Train, that really got to me. And I would sneak and watch it because my mom and dad, you know, were pastors and ministers, and so I wasn't allowed to watch the Soul Train. But I watched it anyway. My mom's probably listening to it right now. on the internet later on this afternoon on the internet going, I can't believe my son was watching the Soul Train. Yes, Mom, I watched it, and I loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. Loved the Soul Train. There was something about the Soul Train that's got into the rhythm. What is a soul? What is really, when we think of the word soul, what do you really think about when we say the word soul? What's some of the first things that come to your mind? Can you measure your soul? I can get up here and say today that I am 6'1" and a little bit more, and I weigh 200 some pounds, and, you know, I can measure things, but I cannot measure my soul. How big is your soul? You can't get up and say, well, my soul is 18 foot tall, 2,000 pounds full of solid muscle. I mean, we just can't say what our soul really is. Many people believe their soul is different than their body. Well, I'm doing this, but my soul is not really doing this. It's as long as you're alive here on earth, you don't separate your body from your soul. They are hand in hand. My soul, my spirit, my body, it's one. And when I do something in my body, my flesh, my soul is there with me. Okay? I don't leave my soul at home. The soul stays with me. Something that happens. We try to separate. Today we celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We're serving a living Lord, a living Savior. The soul of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's say again, the soul of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection is the gospel of our soul. So consider for a second, because many of us come here from different walks of life, and if we could really be truthful here today, many would tell me, Pastor, on the outside of my body, it looks like I'm okay. But on the inside, my soul is tormented. On the inside, my marriage is hanging by a thread. On the inside, I have no peace at all. On the inside, I don't have a great relationship with my children. On the inside, things are falling apart. On the outside, it may look okay this morning. But if you really look into my soul, if you really look into the person that I am inside, there's still a big emptiness going on inside me that I have not filled. I may look like I got it all together, but really, if I was honest, to tell you, in my soul, there's much trouble. But I'm here to tell you there's good news today for your soul. That the Soul Train is still pulling in town today. The Soul Train is still here, and you'll have a chance to be up on the Soul Train. Today, God's going to give you a chance to change your soul. The ability to crash through to the next level in your life. I got to tell you this because the Bible says the same power that brought Jesus back from the grave, the same resurrection power is on tap for our lives today for you and I to experience and to walk in the fullness of the power of his resurrection. So today, your marriage may feel like it's in the grave. Today, your health may feel like it's in the grave. Today, your spirit, your soul may feel like it's in the grave. Today, your relationships and your life, the things you're doing may feel like it's in the grave. They're dead. They're gone. But I'm here to tell you today that God is here today. He's here to breathe life into you. He's here to breathe into your soul. He's here to speak to the very soul of who you are with resurrection power and bring those things which are dead back to life again. That's the power of the grave. That's the power of the empty tomb that God wants to resurrect in our life. Lost dreams. Wants to resurrect in our things that have been destroyed. He builds them back for his glory. He uses things. He resurrects your life and my life today to the power of the empty tomb. I took a train ride one time. I was in Los Angeles, and I was there doing a missions trip downtown L.A. at the Dream Center. And at the end of that trip, some of my group was leaving to go back, and I had family there, and I was actually going to go down and spend time with my family. I was meeting them in San Diego. So I took a train from Los Angeles all the way down to South San Diego. And so I went to the Union Station there in Los Angeles and purchased my ticket. And I remember buying that ticket, and it was like I never had rode on a train before. So I was pretty excited. This is the first time I'd ever rode on a train. And so I went first class because it was only $20 more. I was like, I'm riding first class, man. I may never do this again. So I got my first class ticket, and I sit on my nice, big, fluffy recliner chairs because in first class, you know, everything's a little bit better. I was eating little finger food and sipping on drink. I mean, I was great, man. I was having a great time in first class. And as I was going all the way through this train, I was riding this train, I realized that, you know, I was passing all these towns, and you realize what's really holding you there? What's really taking you there? What's taking me from L.A. to San Diego was the track, wasn't it? The track was designed for a destination. They lead the tracker where I'm going. Matter of fact, the track is made up of three elements. If you look at every track, you see three elements involved. At every train track, you see the rock as the base, and you see the wood, the wood beams going down, and, of course, the iron on top of that. Isn't that really the gospel, think about it, of the resurrection? We have the rock of the risen tomb, the rock that was rolled away in the tomb of Jesus. We have the iron, which represents the nails, which were nailed to his hands, to his feet. We have the wood, which represents the cross, which he voluntarily laid his life down for. See, Jesus has already laid down the track for our life. He's already laid down the track for our soul. He's already laid a track in our life for our soul to come into completeness with him, into great unity with him. See, he's put it inside all of us, this place, to know him more. I was in Atlanta the other day, and I was flying out of Atlanta. They have this train service there, and you've been on some of these big airports, you know what I'm talking about. As the train pulls up, you have on one side, you have stations A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and on the side, you know, H, I, J, K, L, M, P. You're like, well, which one do I go on? Because the doors, they open up briefly, don't they? The doors open up briefly, and if you don't get on just right, what happens? Dung! Doors close, and it's shoo! And man, you missed your train. You got to wait a while until the next train comes back around. And so the doors open up, man. You got to jump on that train. You just hope you get on the right train. And when you grab a hold of the post or a strap or something there, and what's the train always come out and say? There's always a voice that comes down and says, please hold on. The train is now leaving the station. And he just swoosh. And you're like, whoom. You're hanging on. It's off. Today I'm here to tell you that the train is pulling up to the station. The doors are wide open for those who want to get in. But you can't wait. You can't wait. The doors will close soon, and the train's going to leave. The soul train is leaving town, man. And you got to be ready to say, God, I'm ready to get aboard your train. I'm ready to get on the right place because it's leaving. It's leaving soon. The Bible comes along. It says we get aboard this train of the soul train. Let me give you some things about the soul. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, and chapter 6, verse 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with what? All of our soul. With all of our strength. We're called to love the Lord God with all of our soul. There's something within us. Our soul is craving for the Lord. What do you crave today? When you got up this morning, what was you craving? Many of you got up craving coffee, did you? Some of you got up craving coffee. You couldn't even function until you got your coffee. You get up and your spouse, your children, no, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. And once you got your coffee, it's like your whole spirit begins to calm down. That aroma comes through and you got your caffeine and you're ready to, you can face your day. It's like the Holy Spirit just comes through. Oh, hallelujah. I've had my coffee. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, we crave things in our lives. Some of you right now are starting to crave some food. You're craving that great lunch you're going to have after this Easter service. Some of you got some, been cooking all weekend. You got a big feast ready for this Easter service afterwards. So you're already tasting it. You're craving it. Your man is craving things inside you. You realize when God breathed life into man, he said he took dust of the earth and he breathed life into him through his Holy Spirit. He breathed life. When he breathed life into us, he breathed into us a craving in our soul to know who God is. And every man has put a craving in our soul to find out who God is and for our relationship with Jesus Christ. It was put in us. And the problem is this, we crave it and we try to fill it with so many things in our life. We try to fill it with so many things. We go from one buzz to the next, from one high to the next, from one thing to the next. We think this relationship, this drug, this addiction, this thing will crave and meet that craving in my life. This person will meet that craving in my life. This job, this amount of money will meet the craving in my life. And when we get it all, what happens? You're still hungry. You're still craving for more. It never satisfies. Because I tell you this in all honesty, you'll never, ever be able to satisfy the craving of your soul until you allow God to come in into your heart. That's the only thing that will satisfy you. You can try other things. You can try other people. You can try all sorts of things, but they will be empty. They'll be empty. You won't enjoy any of it. You'll get it and think, is this all there is? I thought it was going to be more to it. Because why? Because I haven't allowed my soul craving to be filled. It's the void that God put inside all of us, the void that only his Holy Spirit, only a relationship with him can fill in our life. Psalms 23. The psalmist said, he, talking about God, restores my soul. He guides me in paths I like to put it this way, along the tracks of righteousness. God restores what? My soul. It's God who restores my soul. People don't restore my soul. My spouse can't restore my soul. My children can't restore my soul. My job, my finances, my things, my possessions, my degrees, nothing can restore my soul. Only through a relationship with Jesus Christ can your soul be restored. All of us have this in our heart, this place for a longing of soul. Psalms 42:1, he's talked about. He said, as a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, God. There's a hunger inside of us. What do you really want in life? That's what you and I are wanting in life. That's really what it is. We're craving something in our soul. That's what our addiction really is about. It's what our relationships really are about. We're craving completeness in our soul. That's what you're craving. It's what you're panting for. We got to pant. Realize I'm panting for a relationship with Jesus Christ. Psalms 103, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. What? Oh, my soul. All my inmost beings, praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. My soul screams out, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Everything within me, it praises the Lord. It craves a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to the soul here just for quickly. Let's talk about two things quickly today about our soul. Number one, I want you to know about your soul. I want to talk about the worth of your soul. The worth of your soul. Do you realize your soul is worth something? Pastor, you don't know me. Man, I'm worth nothing. I ain't worth nothing. There's nobody really, really gives 2 cents about my soul. No one really cares about me. I'm here to tell you today, you're so mistaken. You've never been more wrong about anything in your life than you are about that one statement. Today, you are so valuable that God spent the most important thing he could give to pay for the value of you. He could have given us millions and billions of dollars to satisfy us if he wanted to, couldn't he? He could have given us all the possessions we wanted to satisfy us. He could have gave us everything to show us how much he loves us, but it would have really have meant as much. But the fact that he sent his only begotten son, the one thing that had been most valuable to him, the one thing that he valued the most was his son, only begotten son, that he sent him to die for you and I. He sent him to the cross to be crucified for you and I. Shows us the value. When I was younger, I used to collect baseball cards and things of that nature. And I remember I would read in the magazine how much a card was worth, and I would run down and try to get that amount of money out of that baseball card, only to have that guy tell me, hey, son, this card ain't worth that much. I was like, well, the magazine says. And he's like, I don't care what the magazine says. He goes, you can only get out of this card. The value of this card is only what somebody is what? Willing to pay. That's the true value. So it don't make a difference what something's listed. The value is what someone's willing to pay. You may think your home's worth $1 million, but somebody's only willing to pay $200,000. That's what the value is. I mean, it's according to the market. It's according to what somebody is willing to pay. And so today, what's the value of your soul? His son, Jesus Christ, the most precious gift God could have ever given. That's the value of your soul. That's the value of my soul. That's how much he values us. That's how much he loves us. If you ever wondered how much the value of your soul was, look no further than the cross. Look no further than the hill outside Jerusalem called Golgotha, where our Savior walked carrying the cross upon his beaten back with the flesh ripped from it, from the stripes, from the whipping, beat him beyond recognition as he carried that cross up Calvary's hill and willingly allowed himself to be sacrificed, nailed to it. I'm not worth much. You're worth more than you'll ever know. And the proof is in how much someone was willing to pay for your soul. That was with his son, Jesus Christ. So what's your total net worth? This time of the year, people come out, and in April, they always release the top Forbes top list of the top people's net worth. And they always have the top earners and who has the most money, who has the most net worth. And you read that list, and you're like, that's so, we can't even comprehend it. there's some kid on there, 13 years old, who invented, you know, the Spaminator, Baconator, or something on there. And you're like, you know, what? You know, it makes no sense to us. You want to know what your net worth really is? Let me tell you, this is how much your net worth really is. Let me tell you this right here. Simply add up everything that money cannot buy and everything that death can't take away, and you got your net worth. Add up everything in your life that money cannot purchase, and add to that everything that death can't take away. And that's how much you're really worth. That's your net value in your life. Things, possessions, relationships, title, I mean, all these things, they're great in their place, but they don't prove my net worth. My net worth was how much someone's willing to pay for me. My net worth is what is my soul doing for eternity. That's what's important. Where's my soul ready for eternity? How much are you worth? 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you were not redeemed," we were not purchased, is what it means. We're not purchased with corruptible things. We were not purchased. Our soul was not purchased with silver or gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But it says we were purchased with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. That's how much our value is. We were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Today there's a story I love to tell, and it's a story about a farmer in Africa. And this farmer in Africa, at the height of the diamond rush, when all the diamonds mines were being sought after in Africa, he was there and he was seeing all these foreigners come in, and all these foreigners are coming in, they're finding diamond mines, and they're becoming millionaires and billionaires overnight as they search out and find these diamonds. And so he sold his land, he sold his house to someone, and he went out on the quest to find the diamonds. He's like, if these foreigners can do it, surely I can do it. So he went out and he began to search for the diamond mines. And he searched and he searched and he looked high, looked low, looked far, looked near. Poor guy couldn't find one diamond. He had sold everything he had. He had used all of his resources he had till he went broke. And he didn't find a single diamond. Tragedy and despair, because he was so depressed that he couldn't find anything. He committed suicide out of depression because he thought he had just failed his whole life and he couldn't find it of anything of value. The sad part of the story was this, that after he died, that one day the guy who was purchased his property was out walking around by the edge of some water that came on the property there, and he saw something shining there, and he picked up, pulled out of the ground one of the largest diamonds ever pulled out of Africa. And it led to one of the biggest diamond mines ever found in Africa, right there on his own property that he sold. He was so busy, worried about finding wealth, that he didn't realize he was knee-deep in diamonds. And see, in you and our life, maybe that's how we are today. We're so busy and looking for satisfaction. We're so busy looking for wealth in so many things. We're so busy looking for completion in so many things, we don't realize that there's a diamond mine already been given to us. The value of our soul, we just got to look at the soul train's already pulled up, man. It's there. We've already been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus has already been shed for you and I. And if we'll just look up and see what the value of our soul really is, we'll walk in new depths of riches. We'll walk in new riches that you've never experienced in your spirit before, in your life before. New wholeness will happen. How much is your life worth? The blood of Jesus. Stephanie's going to come. She's going to sing this song called "Oh, the Blood." And as she does, I want you to reflect on your own life of how much God loves you, how much the price has been paid for our soul.
Oh, the blood, crimson love, price of life's demand. Shameful sin placed on him, the hope of every man. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me how can it be that in my sin?
Today we know that it's by the blood. Real quickly, let me give you my last point this morning and we're going to close. The second thing today we got to realize is a soul is worth a lot. Our soul is worth a lot. And so don't waste your soul. The value of your soul was paid through the blood of Jesus Christ. So don't waste your soul. Don't waste the time that God has given you. Don't waste the opportunity he has for an immeasurable, intangible relationship with him that's beyond what you could ever dream, measure, or comprehend. I love the book of Ecclesiastes because it tells us a story of the wisest and wealthiest man in Solomon who ever lived on this earth. His wealth that was been calculated in today's terms is beyond what anybody has ever seen or even heard of. He was so rich that the man had 700 concubines. Not 700 wives, 700 concubines. No wonder the man was wealthy. He needed all that money to support all those women that he had in his life, all his wives. It says everything he had was just gold. It was gold plated, gold this, gold that. But he didn't eat unless his silver was gold. He didn't travel unless he was traveling on solid gold. I mean, everything he had more money than you could ever even think of. He made Bill Gates look like he's on welfare. I mean, he had so much money that you just couldn't even realize how much money this man had. And he gave us the great statement that I love here in Scripture, because he talks about in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11. This is Solomon talking when he was the wisest man. He said, "When I surveyed all that my hands have done," talking about everything he accomplished, "what I have toiled to achieve," this is what he says, all of his wealth, all of his kingdoms that he had built, he says, "everything was meaningless. As a chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun." Why did the wisest man in the world say that? Because he knew that the only thing that really mattered in life was that his soul knew a personal relationship with his Heavenly Father. Everything else, it was empty. He said, just like chasing after the wind, the more you try to get, the less you really have. And nothing can fulfill the void in his life until he allowed God to fill the void in his life. Have you ever tried living on your own track? I mean, the train track is set. You're going where it's set. But many of us here, we try to lay our own track, don't we? Many of us here, we try to lay down our own track in our own life. I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish this. And we got this bucket list and all these things we set out to do in our life. Things we're going to achieve. And we're going to set our own goal, our own pathway. And we set our own path in life, our own train set. We become our own conductor. We've kicked God out of the conductor seat. Thank you, God. I'll take it from here. And we're going to take it out. But let me tell you today, the train has been set. It started back in the birth of a virgin called Mary. As the train in our life began to go along, God began to lay the track in our life through the virgin birth. And then we see later on the track being set. As Jesus enters the age of 30, he enters into a teaching years, begins to call his disciples together, teaching them and training them along the track of life. As he goes along the track of life, he opens up the deaf ears and he heals the blind eyes to see. He goes to the woman caught in adultery and he shows a grace that had never been shown before. He goes along healing, raising the dead, healing the sick, teaching people about the love of the Father. His track leads him to the garden where he prays, "Father, if this cup may pass from me, may it pass." Yet his track was on a one way to the cross. And he got back on that track and began to ride that track to the cross. And he nailed his hands to the cross and his feet were nailed to the cross. His back was beat beyond recognition. And he took his last breath. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And in my spirit, Lord, in your hands I commit my spirit, my soul. He took his last breath and he died. And the train briefly came to a stop. But I'm glad the train didn't stop there. The train didn't stop with the grave. Because the train only took him down to the pits of hell, where he took the keys. He took the keys to the grave. And he began to rise that track back up out of the grave. And pretty soon that train rolls up a full power. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your grave? No more. No more in my life. No more in your life. Death is your coffin. Grave is your coffin. God is risen from the dead. He's alive. He's alive today. He's alive today. Stand to your feet this morning if you're not already standing. Know this, that the resurrection power of Jesus is here today to resurrect your soul, to resurrect your life. It's here in resurrection power. The soul train is pulling in town. But it's up to you to get on board. You know, I've been on a lot of trains and no one's there pushing me to get on. No one's telling me, "You better get on." I just got to get on. I'm going to be left behind. It's there. I had purchased my ticket in first class. It had already been purchased. But yet, if I didn't get on that train, I wasn't going to my destination. Jesus has already purchased your first class ticket to heaven. But you got to get on the train or you're not going. It's all in vain if you don't get on the train and say, "God, I'm ready today for my soul to make an eternal investment, eternal change. My net worth is changing today because I know that I'm really valuable. I'm valuable because the blood of Jesus has been paid for me. It's been paid for you today." I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right now. Nobody's looking around but me. I will not embarrass you in one bit this morning. But with nobody looking around today, you say, "Pastor, today's my day. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to get my soul right with Him. I'm ready to get aboard this train and say, you know what? I want to make sure I spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. I want to make sure I have eternal value in my soul. I want my craving to be complete today as I walk in the fullness of a relationship with Jesus Christ." Nobody's looking but me today. Will you raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I'm ready today to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Thank you. Anybody else today, you want to raise your hand? Thank you. You say, "I'm ready." Thank you. Anybody else say, "You want to join these today?" Say, "I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Nobody's looking around at all but me. And I want you to raise your hand one more time. If you haven't done it yet, you raise it right now. Say, "I'm ready today to get aboard that train." Thank you. Anybody else want to join these today? You say, "I'm ready today to join them." Thank you. Anybody else today? Today's your day. Today's your day. Today's your day. You're getting aboard the train, man. And God's going to take you to a new place. Your track in life is changing. Your conductor in life is changing. You say, "I'm ready to get aboard God's soul train. My soul is going to have eternal value. I'm going to walk and cash my ticket in and walk in a new life with a new conductor on a new path set for me by the Holy Spirit." One more time today, if you have not raised your hands and you want to accept Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hands. Say to me, "Pastor, I'm ready right now." Anybody else want to make sure you have plenty of opportunity? We're all going to say this prayer together, especially those who raise your hands, and we're going to say it along with you. We're going to say it out loud. Let's say this prayer. They say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins, for I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness in my life. I confess you as Lord of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, and I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah. Now listen, today, when you leave here today, if you raised your hand and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can stop by our information booth in the back, and we've got a free Bible, some other information that tells you what to do next. It's just the start of your journey. Just the start of your train track. It's just the start of what God's wanting to do. If you don't have a home church, man, you better find a home church. You'll never make it without a home church. Get involved in a home church and allow God to do something great in your life. We're going to close with this anthem again. It says, we know what? Hallelujah. He is risen. Grave that could not hold him. We're free today. Let's let it ring.
You have won the victory.
Jesus Christ.
Come on, give God a praise. Hallelujah. Oh, hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we praise you, Lord. Giving you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Majesty. We sing out your praise today, Father. Thank you, God, that the victory has been given to us. How many are glad that victory has been given to us today? Come on, Justin. Justin's going to close out in prayer today. Thank you so much for being here. God is alive and well today. You take him with him. Take him with him in your heart today and your spirit. Proclaim his truth all week long. Justin, close us out today.
God, we are so excited, God. We marvel in your presence here among us, God. Lord, we celebrate the love that you have for us, God, by sending your son to die for our sins, God. While we were yet sinners, you sent Christ to die for us, God. And Lord, we thank you, God, that because he rose, God, we have hope. And God, we have something to live for, God, because we've restored into a right relationship with you, God. And Lord, we sing hallelujah, God. Lord, because you have risen, God, and we proclaim it. We will live in it, God. We confess it, and we accept it this morning, God. We thank you so much, God, for what you've done here in our midst today, God, and what you're going to do in our lives going forward, God. Lord, the train has stopped, and we are getting on, God, and we're rolling with you from here on out, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.